You're listening to the FQXI podcast. Oh, wow, we've covered a lot of quantum-y stuff this edition. The loophole-free experiments that confirm spookiness, the possible connection between time dilation and quantum collapse, and now quantum thermodynamics. I'm a professional science communicator, but that stuff is hard to explain.
One person who has seized that challenge head-on in his own way is quantum physicist Dagomir Kazhlikovsky, an FQXI member who moonlights as a filmmaker. Kazhlikovsky, who is based at the Center for Quantum Technologies in Singapore, was one of our top place winners in the FQXI video contest last year. He's also now working on a new FQXI-sponsored film, oddly enough, about Bell's theorem, which is the idea behind the loophole-free experiment we were talking about earlier. I met up with Kazhlikovsky at the New Directions meeting in Washington, D.C., and asked about how growing up in communist Poland affected his career choices, how you go about conveying science through fiction, and if he could only choose movies or physics, which would it be? Dagomir Kazhlikovsky is a Polish physicist at the Center for Quantum Technologies in Singapore and a lifelong filmmaker. His entry, Seeing Without Looking, earned one of three top prizes in the first ever FQXI video contest in 2014. Seeing Without Looking has the gritty, grimy look of a 70s-era crime drama and tells the story of a pair of Singapore detectives threatened by an evil mastermind who may or may not have put an extra-sensitive nuclear bomb into a briefcase. The situation is solved thanks to a bank robber-turned-physicist, played by real-life physicist Flatko Federal, who uses quantum optics to see into the briefcase without technically looking into it. Kazhlikovsky's video is clearly the work of a physics expert and an experienced filmmaker. I asked him how he got started making movies.
So my father was a sailor, so he was, you know, traveling a lot. But when he was at home, we used to watch movies together. Yeah. Like, you know, Godfather, you know, all these old good Hollywood movies from 70s. And, you know, that was some kind of bonding experience with my father. And it was fascinating. And I always wanted to make movies. And the first movie I made on, you know, on these old videotapes was when I was 17, around 17. And then it was fascinating, right? I wanted to do it, but at the time I was living in communist Poland, so I didn't see any perspectives in this direction because all the movies were censored and stuff like that. So I just dropped it. I went to study physics, and then now when the technology is now cheap and accessible, you can make movies, you know, on a tiny budget, really, as long as you have good ideas. So I decided that maybe it's time to go back, and to come back to this and start doing this again. No, I actually wanted to go to film school, but as I said, right, it was, there were communist times, so it was difficult to, I didn't see perspectives. I thought that science was was an easy way to do things without being controlled by anybody, because, you know, in this communist country, science was actually, you could do science. There was no censorship in this respect because there's nothing to censor about science. So I think there was kind of, you know, guarantee of freedom of what you do.
An audience member in the panel discussion at the New Foundations meeting suggested that sometimes the science in a movie or TV show doesn't have to be totally correct. If your goal is just to get people interested. Time travel, for instance, isn't a scientific reality, but it is the reason I got into physics. I asked Kazhlikovsky what he thought about this attitude and whether he made compromises in his films.
It's a good question. I think that we should go for certain simplifications just to get people hooked. And if they want to know more, then we should give them opportunity to explore it somehow, right? By either going to a website or reading some article or something like that. But you know, again, it depends which kind of people you want to target, right? If these are people who are geeky or already inclined towards science, then I don't think that you need to that you have to target them in a special way. So for these people, we can deliver, you know, the message just right, and then they will try to understand it on their own. But, you know, there's a lot of people who maybe don't know that science is interesting, right? Maybe they never had an opportunity to understand that science could be fun and interesting. And these people need some hook, you know, something that will push them in the right direction. And then in this pushing, I mean, this process of pushing them, I think you can maybe not lie, but you can simplify things. Like in this movie that I made, right? The things are simplified, of course. And then on the webpage, when on YouTube, people actually ask very, you know, to the point questions, right? And how is it possible that there are no photons in the suitcase already? Okay, and it's a very good question, right? Because there's a thermal radiation in the suitcase, so there are of course some photons there. All right, but so there was certain simplification, but I think that I hope that it was interesting for some people who, you know, are not scientists or they don't have any inclination, and then they see that there are some really interesting paradoxical things happening in science, and they are mysterious, right? So they can, because of that, they can get attracted maybe. And if they want to know more, they can always, you know, go to Wikipedia and check this bomb tester in more details. So I think that this is one of the strategies, right? Just to get people, just to show them, I know. It's just to show them the mystery, you know? Once you see the mystery, if you have curiosity in you, then you will go and explore it. If you don't have any curiosity, right, then you will just stay at the superficial level and then, okay, at least maybe you enjoyed something, right? That's good enough. I don't think that there's like a silver bullet. There are many approaches and I think we should explore all of them. So one of the guys said that, we should do what we think feels right. And then if it works, good. If it doesn't work, we try another thing. So I think this is the best approach because I don't think there's some grand strategy that would fit everybody. You just have to try to address different kind of people with different kind of things. It sounds quite actually cliche and obvious, right? That you have to try different approaches. I think that movies is, visual things are always popular and, you know, as they say, that the picture says thousands words, right? Mm-hmm. Or something like that, so.
Kaczlakowski's next film is a documentary funded in part by a mini-grant from FQXI, Three Men and the Bell Theorem. We'll look at the impact of John Bell's famous theorem on the lives of three physicists. He is also hoping to make a follow-up to Seeing Without Looking that will use the context of a zombie invasion to explain quantum teleportation. So far, he also continues to do physics.
Yeah, so the both things are really, you know, interesting and they give me a kick, right? Doing physics is great. Making movies also something very fascinating. But I think at this moment, yeah, as for now, I would just go for the movies because I've been doing physics for the last, 25 years. So maybe now it would be a good moment to change it. And then I think that, you know, both activities are very creative and require a lot of analytical thinking and, precise thinking. So I don't see a big difference between making movies and doing physics, right? As I said, both are creative processes and both require some discipline. But as I said, I've been doing physics for 25 years, so now maybe I would try to... If I had an option, I would just go for the movies.
Thank you to Dagomir Kaczlakowski for chatting with Brendan. On the podcast page, www.fqxi.org/community/podcast, you'll find links to some of Kaczlakowski's films and to a profile of his research written by reporter Nicola Jones.
There's also a link back to the podcast special from the New Directions meeting where you can hear a panel discussion with Sabina Hossenfelder, Dagomir Kaczlakowski, Matt Liefer, and myself on how to convey foundational physics ideas to the public.
So the podcast has been a bit of a reunion for you all. That's all we have time for. So thanks again to all the people that Brendan just mentioned, plus Igor Pekovsky, Corinne Pickema, Jonathan Oppenheim, and Colin Stewart.
If you want to contact us, you can email us at podcast@fqxi.org or reach us on Twitter @FQXI. Thanks as always for listening.
He's been Brendan Foster.
And she's been Zia Morali.
I'm escaping off to a parallel universe.
And I'm going to become a hologram on the edge of a black hole.